Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geezers, and moviegoers alike. It's this special edition of the Monkey Nut Punch podcast.
Special. Special edition. Special edition.
With us, special people. At the back of the bus, licking the window. We want to talk about Shazam, but we didn't want to spoil it for certain people because we really enjoyed it. So we're going to put it on separately. And that way you can skip over it until you've watched it or you decide you're not going to watch it and you want to listen to the podcast.
Oh, yeah. So, spoiler alert.
Yes.
Spoiler. If you have not seen Shazam, stop listening, get on your local cinema website, book yourself a ticket, go and see it, and then come back.
Yes.
Because we're talking and we're spoiling the fuck out of this film.
Yes. First things first is I will describe Shazam as a family-friendly film.
Yeah.
I watched it with my son in the cinema. We saw a late showing, so he stayed up past 9 o'clock all the way through to about midnight.
Yeah, it is quite.
And given the fact that he should have been really tired, he was quite energized by watching the whole film. He didn't find it boring. He was excited by watching everything. So. That's an endorsement from my son. He gave it an 8 out of 10.
I think that's about fair for it. I think that's a pretty good score for it.
Yeah, I would say an 8 out of 10 for it. Even on my scale, I'd say an 8 out of 10 for it.
No, because I agree
with you. It was fun. There's some good bits of humour in there. The character struggled a lot, which I really appreciated because he was like a kid who'd been given superpowers, so he didn't quite get what was going on. Criticisms, the guy playing Shazam, the superhero person,
Zachary
Levi, yeah. And the kid playing Billy, what was his name?
Billy Man, Billy Batson or something.
They needed to sync up so they could like mirror each other because that kind of felt a bit disconnected. But it was good.
I think Zachary Levi did a good job.
Yeah.
I just like the fact that effectively, I mean, the Shazam comics, modern Shazam comics, are probably not as well followed these days. A lot of the stuff in this was lifted from the original Captain Marvel comics, because that's what Shazam was previously. I mean, for those who don't know this, so a little bit of back info for you. Shazam or Captain Marvel comics were launched by a publisher, I can't remember the name, but they weren't DC. And they came out in the 40s. And basically, Shazam had pretty much all the powers without the laser eyes, I think, of Superman. And in the 40s, Shazam comics, or Captain Marvel comics, sold more comics than Superman did. And DC got their fucking arse-ache about this, because effectively they thought that Captain Marvel was ripping off Superman, which it kind of was. And they sued this publisher and won. So Captain Marvel comics kind of went away. And then DC decided that they wanted to actually buy the rights to these comics, and they did. But by that point, Marvel had licensed the name Captain Marvel, hence Shazam was born.
Okay.
In a nutshell. So that's why there is a Captain Marvel connection to Shazam, because initially he was known as Captain Marvel.
So better than Captain Marvel that we...
Yes.
There we go.
But, I mean, the thing that you immediately get from this is they've literally lifted the comic book and put it on screen. The origin story is slightly different. There are more... Because there was the Marvel family, or where there was a Mary Marvel. There was like a kid one. And Mary is obviously the older of the foster kids in this.
Let's focus on the kind of plot of the film, because the plot of the film starts off and you're following Billy Batson, that's his name.
Yeah.
And he's set these cops up for a fucking trap so he can access their computer to
really
find
funny.
His mum, which was really great because you knew he was up to something. And then it was the bit where he stole the guy's lunch. Don't you fucking steal my lunch, don't you? Ah, you little bastard, like that. Steals his lunch, finds what he thinks is his mum, knocks on the door, and there's a big black lady there going, I don't think you're your mother. Which I loved. Which was a great introduction to the character, and I think that's something that they changed.
Yeah, I like the fact that the cops turned up and went, you ate my french fries too, you bastard.
That was good, because he kind of got a feeling for the character. And it was a bit sad, because his backstory wasn't that the parents got shot or anything. His mum just abandoned him at a fun fair because she just couldn't cope. And I thought that was fucking tragic. And
I liked the fact that the scene you see at the beginning, where he's and he from is from his perspective, when he does eventually find his real mother, you see the real video, and it's very different.
Yeah,
and I quite like that. I mean, it was very sad, but I liked the fact that it was quite clever that that they gave it from both perspectives. That was good.
Yeah, and then he gets put into a foster family with the big fella from Walking Dead.
Yeah,
who hangs around with Ezekiel, and he's quite a nice character, because you look at him and he comes across as cuddly.
Yeah,
and he looks Samoan. I think he's South Island Pacific looking. So you got him and his wife, and they're looking after all these kids. And Billy's got to share his room with his disabled foster brother, shall we say, who's got a wicked fucking sense of humour.
Yeah.
He's got such... It's weird, because when it comes to kid actors, if you're not irritating me, you're doing a good job. And none of the kid actors irritated me.
No, they didn't. They were very good. Even the little sister, she was sweet, actually.
The little sister, the bit where they figure out that Billy is Shazam, and she's sitting there and she goes, I knew it! I knew it!
I knew you lot would figure it out, and I didn't tell you anyone, because I'm a kid sister.
And I love that, because she kind of had like a touch of autism about her, where she couldn't stop speaking.
Yeah.
So she kind of a bit Asperger's. But it made her really sweet, and she wanted Tim to be her sister and everything, and that meant a lot to her. And she had like a big kind of feeling for family, and you kind of really like that character. But going back to the disabled half-brother, I can't remember his name now, he gets hit by a fucking car.
Yeah.
And nobody does anything.
Well.
Well, Billy does.
Billy's walking away.
But I'm talking about the school. That's a fucking felony, if I remember correctly.
I found it quite irritating. Those two bullies kept parking their fucking great big Ford truck on the side the way they did. And it those two kids were fucking irritating. And they do get their comeuppance, which was
twice.
Quite cool.
They get comeuppance twice, where Shazam destroys the car,
which was brilliant,
and the disabled kid comes out and he's got a fucking GoPro on his fucking hat, because he's filmed the whole thing. And I do like the idea that they were doing all the superhero tests for him when he finds out he's got superhero powers, and it's like, kind of, what can you do? And it's like, kind of, can you go invisible like that? And he turns around and goes, oh my god, I can't see you. And he's like, and then you just see this big, oi dickhead, what's with the costume?
The thing was, like, although it's a family-friendly movie, it kind of reminded me a bit of The Goonies, because The Goonies was a family-friendly movie, but the kids swear. And they're doing this. I mean, there's at least three or four times where they say shit, they say dickhead, and it had that kind of un-PC 80s feel about it.
Yeah.
And I really liked that. That was what was really good. I loved the reference to Big. Because people have been comparing...
Oh, the piano in the toy store, yeah.
Such a good little reference that was.
I preferred the bit where he throws fucking Batman at him. Yes, because you take care of him, Batman.
There were so many Batman references in this. I mean, I don't know if that was done on purpose, but there's like kids with the Batman on the backpack, and you keep seeing that backpack everywhere.
Well, the kid had his disabled brother had a...
A Batarang,
and the bullet from Superman, and his Superman backpack.
Yeah.
And, oh God, the bit where he says to the bullies that Shazam's going to turn up and have lunch, and he doesn't turn up and have lunch, and then everyone in the fucking thing then takes a piss out of him, and then you get to the end of the film, and he turns around, because they turn around, so he goes, oh, what is he going to do, fucking invite Shazam and Superman to the fucking lunch and that, and you get to the end, and he goes to sit down, and all those people then fuck off from the table, and then his family all come and sit down with him,
which was really
foster
nice.
Family. They all kind of sat down with him, and then Shazam appears and goes, hi, this is Thurman Sanzo, he's a really good guy, blah, 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 sits down and goes, oh, sorry I was late, I was getting a friend, and then fucking Superman walks in, and then you're like, love it, absolutely fucking love that. I was grinning, and I looked at him, and my son, he's like, kind of, that's cool.
That was cool. I mean, I love the sort of like the YouTube sort of videos he was making. I love that sort of modern edge to it, and all the Superman sort of superhero powers tests. They were really good. That montage was quite cool.
I love the secret fire immunity. We let him go to the box and
he fucking tortures shit. He basically says, because he puts his notepad up as like screen credit thing, and it says, you know, teleportation test. And then so you see Shazam get into this cardboard box, and there's another cardboard box into it. You go, Shazam hasn't got teleportation. And you think he's just going to do what he does, because he cheats at another test before, which was very funny. Mm. And you think he's going to sort of like use super speed to go from one box to the next. And the kid just literally fucking pours petrol all over this box and fucking torches it. And then this like credit comes up, secret fire immunity test.
Love that.
Which was quite funny. But again, there was like really un-PC moments where they go to a gentleman's club.
Oh, that was great.
That was great, but the joke, it builds a joke that you don't see coming.
You don't see coming until right towards the end. The bit I love is the bit where he comes out and turns around and goes, I'm going to need more money.
Yeah.
Not he didn't get kicked out, didn't do anything appropriate, just need more money. They're really persuasive like that.
So that was the first joke. But then later on in the film, they're trapped in sort of like this
magical
other dimension.
Realm.
Magical realm. And Shazam realizes that he's got the power to sort... He has got like this teleportation power. And they go, you know, think of Earth. Think of some place that's safe and you feel, you know, that's perfect. Think of it. And then it cuts to the gentleman's club. And you see the Shazam being come down. And they all appear. And then like all the family walk out. And the big sister's like, that's the place that you thought of. Which had all the dads in the cinema pissing themselves off.
I thought that was great, because it was like kind of the little girls going, they had really good music in there. Why couldn't I see what was going on?
It was so innocent, but there was like this in how sort of in parent joke, if you like. Well, father's joke. It was a dad's joke, that was.
It was good. The Mark Strong as the bad guy. I can't pronounce his name because I never said his name.
Dr. Savannah. He was one of the original bad guys.
Mm.
And he kind of forms a league, a kind of like a League of Doom thing with another character. Now, this is the thing, right? I don't know a lot about Shazam, but I knew a little bit. And they had, like, in the 40s, they had this really, really fucking cheesy character. And it was basically an alien mind-controlling caterpillar called Mr. Mind, right? And it's the most 40s-esque sort of typical stereotype bad guy that you think you can never put that on film. And when you first see the first Mark Strong's character as a young kid go to the Shazam magical realm, and you see this caterpillar on the thing, I went, okay, they're just sort of hinting at Mr. Mind as a little in-house joke. I thought they're not going to do Mr. Mind. I mean, okay, I know they did Black Manta in Aquaman, and they actually look like Black Manta from the comics, but they're not going to go that far. And then the cut scene at the end, and you hear that voice, and I was just like, I know who that is. And I looked at my mate, I know who that is. My mate didn't have a clue. I'm like, no way, they're actually going to... And then it cuts to the caterpillar, full Mr. Mind gear, going, I go, oh my God, they are actually going to do this. And those two form like a League of Doom thing. And they're doing it. It's almost like DC have gone, do you know what? Fuck it. Fuck off, you know, what's his face? We're just going to do our material.
Yeah.
And they did it with... They kind of did it with Wonder Woman, the fact that they went with the gods.
Yeah.
So a proper origin story, which... You know, it was kind of a bit batshit crazy. Then Aquaman came out and he was just full-blown fucking madness. And they've done the same in Shazam. And I think that's what they're doing. We mentioned this in the... I think they're just going, fuck it. They've just gone, fuck it. Let's just do what our material is.
Yeah.
And no matter how stupid it might seem, no matter how silly it is, they even take the piss themselves out, because they did a kind of like Marvel-esque thing right at the end, which was just a joke. And all it was Shazam taking the piss out of Aquaman.
Oh, that was great. We were trying to talk to the fish. I can't talk to fish. Because what fucking ability talking to fish will give me? Because I don't know, you could have like giant kind of underwater battles and stuff. Like, it could be really cool. And he's wearing an Aquaman t-shirt. That was I like that. The other part is, if we're going back to the bad guy was good. I find the bad guy good, because he wasn't the first bad guy that you come up against in one of these origin stories can't have too heavy an origin themselves, because it detracts from the good guy. So you just need to set someone up who's a threat, and the guy and Mark Strong's Doctor.
But you sympathise with him at the beginning.
You do.
Because it shows him basically being abused by his dad and his brother.
Yeah.
And that kind of sets him on the path to evilness.
Yeah.
And he turns up, right? Once he's got these powers, he turns up and his dad and brother have become quite successful in a stereotype, you know, rich organization. He literally throws his brother out the window.
Yes.
That's the brother dispatched. And then one of the seven deadly sins literally eats his father.
Yes. And his father was played by, was it John Glover, who was Lionel Luthor in Smallville?
Yes.
And it was quite nice because I haven't seen him in a bloody while.
I heard him on a recently on a podcast because he's mates with the guy I listen to, Ralph Garman's podcast. He's mates with him and he did an interview with him. And I forgot he mentioned he's in the Shazam movie.
Yeah.
And he was good. But there's lots of the big reference. So when the bad guy first turns up, he's chasing Shazam. And Shazam runs through this toy store and there's one of those pianos and they literally both run across the piano and I was just like, oh yeah, that's a nice little reference.
I like that.
And the fucking Father Christmas, because it's like,
oh god, Father Christmas.
So there's this, like, I think this was meant to come out of Christmas.
There were three Father Christmas references in that. There was this is a funny thing, is one of them's an internet meme. Yeah, I'll explain that one. That's the last one. But you had the first one where he loses his shit when he sees the fight go on between Shazam.
Father Christmas to protect you, and then he fucking runs off.
And then you had the next one in the what's it?
In the fairground.
What was it called? Because it had a name.
Was it like a fairground?
It was like an ice fair sort of thing.
And
they
it
had.
Sets up the final act of the movie.
And
Father Christmas sees Mark Strong's character coming in and just goes, everybody run!
And then you had the bit right at the end where he interrupts the reporter.
That's the funny one.
And that's the one that's the internet meme. If you've seen the internet meme where the guy runs up to the reporter, grabs the microphone and goes, grab him by the pussy or something like that.
Yeah.
No, fuck her in the pussy like that. And then runs off, yeah? He did what that guy did.
But it's Father Christmas and he's swearing and he's just going, bleep, bleep, bleep. That was so funny.
Yes.
The humour in this is spot on.
Yes, the humour is spot on.
The humour in this is spot on. I love the final act. The final act doesn't disappoint. He kind of, after finding his real mother, because the kids, his foster family help him find his real mother, because the little sort of gamer kid who's really fun. I love the bit where there was a real nice little Street Fighter reference, because all of the kids basically become like Shazam.
No, hang on a second, because that bit was brilliant where it was like kind of when he first meets the wizard. I can't remember the actor's name, but I always thought he should play Kratos. Gives him the stuff. He goes, grab hold of this and say my name. He goes, what's your name? He goes, Shazam, and he laughs. Yeah, and he gets to the end of the film and he realizes that there are supposed to be seven wizards occupying the chairs in the thingy. So the power that he had was for seven other wizards. So he just realized that he can share the power and give them the strength. And he puts the staff down and he goes, grab hold of the thingy. Now say my name. And they go, Billy!
And then goes, my superhero name!
And they say Shazam, and then they all get superhero powers.
But the little sort of, the Asian kid basically goes, Kyoga!
Yes, he yells Hadouken and whatnot.
It's Hadouga! Or something like
Hadouken.
That. Hadouken, that was it. But that made me laugh.
Oh, that was
and the disabled kid gets the ability to fly.
Yes,
because there's a whole sort of thing about invisibility or flight, and he flies and he saves the two bullies by giving them a wedgie, which was very funny.
Yes, what did he call it? It was a special kind of wedgie, wasn't it? It's
like side luggage, wedgie,
luggage wedgie.
Luggage wedgie, that was it. Because you grab them on the side, yeah.
You grab them, you pick them up like luggage.
Yeah.
Yes, that was good. It was such a good film. I really enjoyed it, and it's just, I love the bit where he's fucking around and he does the bus, and then he does the bus, and then the bus falls. He catches the bus and says, look, I saved everyone. He goes, you always fucking killed everyone like that. And there's the bit where he's holding the bus up, yeah, and then there's a dog. He's like, move, doggy, move. I want to put the bus down. And he waits and then the dog moves and he puts the bus down. And those little moments, those little struggly moments where it doesn't quite work out the way you want it to, really helps you sympathise and empathise with the character so you engage with them more. And people kind of forget that. Like, we're going to Star Trek Discovery or Captain Marvel, they seem to have forgotten those little elements that make characters interesting and engaging. And that's why we'll look back at these films and go, did everyone watch this?
It's kind of almost a parody of itself as well. I mean, like with Aquaman managed to put all of the batshit crazy shit that they've got in the comics on screen, and it works. But it doesn't take itself seriously, and Shazam really doesn't. There is a brilliant scene in the third act towards the end where basically Shazam is facing down Mark Strong's bad guy. And they do that typical bit where they're flying over a city and they're away from each other. And Mark Strong's got this fucking speech and launches into this, I'm going to kill you and I'm basically going to destroy you shit. And then he cuts to Shazam, who's hovering. And you can see Mark's going, but Shazam can't hear. He's like, mate, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. And then he comes back to Shazam. To Mark Strong's character, who's in full-blown evil
monologue mode.
He comes back to time and goes, nope, fuck it.
Right towards him. That was
utterly brilliant. Again, very, very... The humour in this is spot on.
Yes.
They land almost all the jokes, and they are well-timed. And it's a silly film, but it's a brilliantly silly film. And it's fun. It's what a superhero... I describe this as a proper comic book movie. And it is. It's a proper comic book movie. And it's a proper fun popcorn film that you can take your kids to. And yeah, there's a bit of swearing in it and there's a bit of stuff. But you can take your kids and your kids are going to have fun. And there's loads of kiddie stuff in it. But there's jokes for the adults. So like the bit where he lands in the adult club, it's really funny.
Yeah.
And it's not gratuitous. It's not. It's innocent. It's really innocent, but it has those little sort of hints at jokes that make dads and, you know, parents laugh. And that's what I love about it. It's got that Goonies feel about it, and it works.
It's annoying because I'm looking at it and I'm thinking this is going to be like Ant-Man and the Wasp level. That's the success level it's going to get. I don't know what it's
going to do. I hope it does better than that. I like what DC are doing, and I like the fact that they're going down the fun route. They're going down the batshit crazy route, and they're having fun with it. And I think that's where they're going to go with the Batman. As I said in the previous podcast, if you've listened to it, the rumor is that they're going to do Batman is going to be the detective, and that's how Batman started. He was like a detective, and that's the rumor they're going to do it. And if they make Batman in that kind of fun, if they sort of pull away a bit from the gothic darkness that sort of like, you know, the Michael Keaton Batman launched and go back to the fun side. They don't want to go full-blown Adam West Batman, but if they kind of do something in the middle,
I think Batman would work darker and he should be the only darker one. Yeah. I think that Shazam should have a touch of humour, Aquaman should have a touch of adventure, Superman should have a touch of hope, and like kind of Wonder Woman should have a touch of, what would you describe it as, kind of resilience or something, yeah. Something along those lines. But you get the idea that it's like kind of you tag it up and you turn around and say that Shazam is the kid friendly fun film, Aquaman's that kind of wacky kind of underwater adventure thing. Batman should be a bit on the dark side, but not too dark. Like, don't you have all those really great DC cartoons that they do?
Yes.
Should be in that kind of thing.
Because the mate I went and said saw this with yesterday said, you know, the DC sort of Batman versus Superman movies have been shit, but the one thing DC has done immensely well is put Batman on cartoon. And the bit where you, in the toy store, when Batman, you hear Batman's voice going, I'm Batman, that was Kevin Conroy.
Was it?
It was. He's got a credit in the thing. I was like, awesome. And I think it should be a meet in the middle between really dark Batman and 60s Batman. If they kind of get that balance in between, where it is a bit dark, because it needs to be modern Batman. It has to have that. That almost Kevin Conroy cartoon Batman, which is almost on thing, but with a bit more of the detective side of it, I think it will work. I think they could bring that back in, and it won't jar against the what's-his-face's Batman films.
Yeah.
It'll work.
The thing is, I don't think Batman will be the problem. I think Superman is still the problem they've got.
Depends who they cast.
Well, don't worry about the casting. It's just getting the fucking story right.
You see, I'm in two minds about whether they should bring back Ezra Miller as the Flash or even bother with it.
No. Get fucking Grant Gustin. Seriously. He is... I think he's the perfect fucking Barry Allen. I genuinely think it is.
I do agree.
And it's weird how we got to a point where the DC films, when we were looking back at Batman versus Superman, and we were like, kind of, the films are shit and the TV shows are good. And now we've got the TV shows have turned shit and the films are good. What a weird fucking upside down world we're in.
Yeah, we really are. And yeah, the last three films from DC have been good. Wonder Woman was great. Aquaman was fucking awesome. And Shazam, I just had so much fun with it. I loved it. I loved it from start to the finish.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. It is not, it's not like trying to be anything but a fun film. And that's what you need right now. That's what you need from DC. And DC have tapped into that. Unlike all the other companies that are doing all this SJW bullshit, attacking the fans, not listening to the fans, DC have just gone, fuck it. Have this. And you love it.
It's because it's what cinema used to be, and that used to be escape from all that shit.
Yes, it is.
And it's weird because people go, oh, guys, films are always political. Yeah, but there's a difference between having a slight political message in it and having it rammed down your fucking throat. Yes. Yeah? There is a difference, okay? And it's weird because there's a channel I really like watching, and I've got this habit. If I watch a YouTube channel and they turn around and they give any reason, say, guys, oh, if you're this, you should unsubscribe. I automatically unsubscribe because they're fucking idiots. Yeah, anyone who says that's like, sorry. You know, it's like kind of, oh, if you're racist, you have to say that. Do you have to say that?
No.
Seriously, if you're racist, you should unsubscribe from this channel. You're fucking idiots because I don't need, if you're that dumb, if you're that fucking idiotic. But I used to watch this channel and I really enjoyed it. And going back to the films and stuff, it was nice that it didn't have an overt political message. Having little subtle ones, I don't mind. Yeah, little ones.
The only thing I keep coming back to it, but it did remind me a bit of the Goonies. Not so much the adventure side, just the fun side, that kids do say shit, kids do swear, and it had a bit of that, and it worked. It was fun. It wasn't PC. It was a kind of Goonies movie, and that's what I loved about it. It took me back to my childhood a bit with that, where movies weren't, as you said, always trying to put some kind of agenda bullshit across, and it was just fun.
Yeah,
it was fun.
That's the primary reason you go to the cinema is to be entertained.
And I was
talked down to.
I was engrossed in it. I escaped from the reality for 2.5 hours. I was pissing myself laughing. I was having a lot of fun, and it had a great ending. I loved the two scenes at the end. I loved the cutscene right at the end. It was one of those little in-jokes. A lot of people were moaning, oh, was that it? I found it really funny because I thought, yeah, good on you, DC. You're poking fun at yourself.
And
you're acknowledging all the lame Aquaman jokes because you damn well know that Aquaman was fucking awesome. And yeah, I liked Zachary Levi. I thought he did a damn good job.
Yes.
The kid actors were really good. The kid that played young Billy was good.
Yeah.
And, Mark Strong's character was very, very camp in many respects. But it worked. Mark Strong can do that.
Yeah.
And get away with it.
I did like Mark Strong in that. That was good. It's like kind of, I'm a brother, want to watch that because Mark Strong's here. Because he's a geezer.
He is, but he does it well.
He does do it well.
And I did like the bit right at the beginning because Mark Strong's obviously got money somehow. It doesn't explain it, but it doesn't need to.
Well, no, because his dad owns that fucking corporation.
And he's funding like this, you know, investigation into
mass hysteria.
The mass hysteria thing. And that doctor is really sinister. And then you find out she isn't in on what's really going on.
Mm.
And then she gets fucking... She gets dusted.
Oh,
she gets proper dusted.
Oh, terrible, terrible way to go.
Yeah.
But she did come across as evil.
Yes.
And she did put on a faux German accent, didn't she? I didn't imagine that. Okay,
yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, comic book German. We have ways of making your talk.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Yes, so let's end up with some ratings. So what do you rate out of 10?
I agree with your son. 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10?
Yeah.
I give it 9 out of 10.
Really?
I'll give it 9 out of 10. It gets an 8 out of 10 because two of you have turned around and said 8 out of 10.
I can see. It's near damn perfect.
Yeah, for the story that it was telling.
Yeah.
I might have to go and see it a second time, and you do have that kind of honeymoon period after where I might drop it down to an 8 out of 10, and that's probably at the moment. But as I said, my son he went there. He's only small, and he went there after 9, which was after his bedtime. Watched the film with me in the cinema, and he stayed awake and enjoyed all of it, which is amazing. And it's great because he likes drawing comic books and stuff, and he's got lots of ideas from it too, which like all the symbols. He loved the idea of putting the symbols on the door, where he puts the symbols on the door 7 times to open up the door. He goes, "That's a great, I want that idea." So yeah, it was. I enjoyed it.
You were right about Zachary Levi sometimes not perfectly syncing up with the younger actor. Yeah, I think his sidekick mate was brilliant.
Yeah, he nailed it. Out of all the kid actors, he was the best.
Yeah, but I liked all the kid actors. I liked the silent big guy.
I love the way they hinted at him being gay without saying it out loud, which was like kind of that's not really my thing. That was it. That's all he said, and it was like, okay, fair enough. Like, so that was quite a good way of doing it.
No, it was well done. Look, if you don't, most of the people that listen to this podcast, kind of, you know, you obviously mostly agree with us, or you wouldn't be listening. I think you will like this film. I think you will have a good fun. It's worth going to the cinema. It's a great popcorn flick. It really is. And I give it a solid 8 out of 10. There are a couple of things that I'm probably being harsh by giving it it probably is a 9 out of 10 if I wasn't picky on certain things.
There's a honeymoon thing. And the other thing too is I've got a feeling that I'll be watching that at Christmas.
Yeah.
It'll be on Netflix or Disney Plus or whatever it is, because we'll probably wind up getting Disney Plus. And I wound up watching it.
If you loved Big when you were, and the Goonies and films like that, you will love this.
Yeah.
And the third act, it has a payoff. Mark Strong a couple of times kind of overcamps it a bit, but not really. I mean, he comes. Sometimes you feel like he's just walking through it, sleeping a little bit now and again. But
I don't think he walked through it sleeping.
A couple of times where I got kind of like, you know, he was almost like, well, you know, this is a silly movie, and
yeah, but if it was a silly movie and he's camping it up for fun's sake, then that's acceptable.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Look at Tim Curry. Yes. Do you think Tim Curry would have done that?
Tim Curry will always pull it. Tim Curry pulls it off every time, even when he was in Red Alert 2 with the really, really, really bad accent. We're going into space with his really dodgy Russian accent. Oh, we're going into space. I ripped the piss out of my wife because what she wants, because, you know, them like space and stuff, but she says it like Tim Curry's Russian accent. She keeps saying space.
I have to find a clip of that and insert that.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Tim
Curry's bad Russian accent, but it's so works.
It's a shame that Tim Curry's in the state that he is in, because I'd have loved to have seen him as a villain in one of these movies, because he's just he's delightful. I'm thinking about Tim Curry. I showed my son the clip of Loaded Weapon, where Tim Curry holds Emilio Estevez's character Colt hostage, and then Samuel Jackson's Luger character walks in, and it goes, "Drop the weapon!" Like that guy doesn't carry a gun. He goes, "I don't believe in him. Had no need for him." He goes, "Okay." So he grabs a gun out of his pocket, pops it on the floor, slides it over to him, goes, "Pick up the weapon." And then he picks up the weapon. The moment he picks up the weapon, he starts pointing at it, goes, "Drop the gun!" it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
It is a shame. The world has been robbed. Tim Curry, brilliant.
Oh, and the other thing too, is when we watched the film, they showed an advert for Ridley Scott's Legend.
Right.
I couldn't remember the bloody name. It was driving up the wall. It was like devil, blah, blah, blah. Tim Curry is the devil in that, along with the makeup and everything. It's like, if I ever met the devil, that's what he'd fucking look like and sound like and act like.
I know there was a trailer, because I was trying to tell you, there was a trailer I forgot. I thought, have you seen the Hellboy trailer?
Yes.
I'm
in two minds.
Yes, I'm in two minds, but it might be good.
I don't know. I'm gonna wait for someone I like online to review it and tell me it's good, and then maybe go and see it. But I think the Hellboy money is gonna make more than the Ron Perlman ones, even though that Guillermo del Toro did really good on the visuals.
He did very well on the second one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very Guillermo del Toro though. It is Pan's Labyrinth set in Hellboy universe. Very, very much so. This has more of a comic book look to it. And I like the aesthetics that I saw in the trailer. I like the aesthetics of it. Whether it's... I don't know. But David Harbour came across well.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
Because Ron Perlman's kind of lost the fucking plot. And, you know, some of the tweets he's been putting out recently, he's really bitter about not playing Hellboy. But I kind of like David Harbour.
I think... Well, David Harbour... No one I talk about my limits of free speech and calls to violence or calls to criminality. He broke my limits of free speech with Punch Some Nazis in the Face. And that's a lovely song about punching some Nazis in the face, but someone's remixed him fucking talking that.
There was another, there was the Godzilla trailer in there as well. And I made the cinema laugh because I went, "Oh, no, not a Godzilla!" Every time, it still cracks me up. All these people were laughing around me because I did it louder than I thought. My mate's going, "Shut up, let's go, but your guns, yeah."
Oh dear. Do you know what would have been really funny if there'd have been like a whole back row of Japanese people and they just walked up and goes, "We are grossly offended by your..."
We are grossly. Oh dear. No, Godzilla looks quite good as well. That looks like another really stupid film.
I don't know. Oh. Is it got King Kong in it?
I don't know, but it is Monarch. Because it's got the weird fish bird in it again.
It's annoying because I think that I'd want King Kong to beat the shit out of Godzilla. Even though, but I know for a fact that it's the nuclear fucking breath. Yeah, if he didn't have the nuclear breath, I think King Kong could probably take him easily. But as soon as you add that in there, but King Kong's a little
they
fucked.
They seem to have gone batshit crazy. It's got fucking every... Uber it, monster.
Have you never? Do you never watch the King of Monsters, the original one? My brother Duncan loved that shit.
So I think he's going to like this one.
Oh, good.
And it's got 11 from Stranger Things in it.
Yeah.
I know she's quite a good actress.
Anyway, we've kind of got off the topic of Shazam.
Yes, I know.
And I think we should end it now.
Yes.
So thank you for listening to our very Bethel podcast. And Keith is at the back of the bus licking the window. and I'm fighting off imaginary flies from getting in my ears. Leaving you with that rather gruesome fucking... Not gruesome. Rather inappropriate set of imagery. I'd like to say goodbye from me.
And bye-bye from me. Bye-bye.
Don't have to worry about fucking intro. Woo-hoo!
We should. Oh. We should just go... Metal!
We did it at the beginning!
On this...